What is going on? Today is Friday, the happy Friday, as everyone loves Fridays just as much as I do. Except now with my new writing articles and doing all that stuff, it actually never stops and I keep working. But yeah, so I'm just going to wait, get some viewers in the live show, and then I'm going to start this thing. Today is, we're going to start something new, something I haven't done before, and we are going to do what I like to call a Feature Friday. So we're going to talk about the news of the week. Obviously, we'll run over the big stories and the things that we covered and some of the stories that we missed. Where obviously, we're going to talk about rate transparency from yesterday because that is a big deal and it's kind of blown up online. We are going to talk more about the Amazon driver and how that story is blown up. We have a very important fact that we forgot about that little truck stop baby. Courtesy of my mother, who listens to my podcast and made a joke, and I think it's funny. And a bunch of other stuff we're going to talk about. It's, as always, if you never watched it, this show is a call-in show or a type-in-the-chat show, so you can write whatever you want. You can comment whatever you want. But with that said, here's the intro. All right, today is January 4th, it's 2001. I almost said 2001, but it's 2020. But yeah. So I am probably the only guy out here that makes a fool of himself and attempts to sing his intro every morning, but I have fun with it, and my kids like it, so that's why I do it. So as I was saying, we have a pretty good show today. We're going to talk about news. We're going to talk about some of the stories that are out there today that I just didn't have time to write about. We're going to talk about the website and all the new features that I put on already or that will be coming. We're going to talk about freight rate transparency between a shipper and a carrier and or a shipper or a broker and a carrier. We're going to talk about factoring, what you need to look out for and what kind of scams are going on now between factoring companies and carriers. We're going to talk about dispatching. We're going to talk about everything. And it's going to be a fun show. And if you don't like it, then you're welcome to turn it off. But as I said, my name is Steve. This is Freight Broker Live. It is the only talk show run by freight brokers or a freight broker, which is me. I pretty much just cover the news. I love the industry. I love everything. I feel like there's a shortage of actually relevant news in the industry. And so I took it upon myself to try and cover it all. And yeah, as most people can see, if you guys can see the YouTube comments, if Facebook can, a lot of people were receptive to that video I made yesterday about rates and transparency between rates and all that good stuff. And I'm actually going to touch on a little bit because I have a couple of things that I left out and the caller, Jeffrey, is all concerned because he feels like I didn't understand him, which I still don't. But we're going to cover factoring a little bit more and kind of dive into it for anyone who missed those shows and doesn't feel like going back and listening to the podcast, which, if you don't know, are available on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere else podcasts are heard. Plus, you can watch this on a Roku. You can say, hey, I got to whisper so it doesn't turn on, but hey, Amazon, play this latest episode of Freight Broker Live. And boom, guess what? You'll hear my beautiful voice sing the intro to these podcasts and continue on. At any rate, so here are a few news stories today that I think are relatively important to cover, and I'm going to try to switch to some of these images, so bear with me if it doesn't look good, but take a second, and for all you podcast people, sorry, I'll try to narrate, but this is a scene from this morning in Houston, Texas. Now, that is pretty gnarly. So authorities say at least two people were killed early this morning in an explosion at a manufacturing facility in Houston. The explosion occurred just before 4:30. It actually happened right around 4:15 at the Watson Grinding and Manufacturing Facility in Northwest Houston, Texas. Residents were reported hearing and feeling the blast as far as 30 miles away from the explosion site. Several homes were knocked off their foundations by the blast. Houston police say that the debris field is about a half a mile. That is massive. And so I'll put that picture up for the people that are watching this live or on replay. That I watched this as it broke, and I also put it on our Facebook page. This was massive. This was massive. When you're seeing all the debris, like this picture can't even show it. These are huge buildings. And whatever happened, I guess polypropylene blew up or whatever. But whatever happened, blew that all up and, I mean, injured some people. It injured a couple, and I think it killed two. But it was saying that they still have some people that are missing, I believe. And so it's a pretty sad story. Hopefully that no one else dies in it. What was some of the comments? Right Lane says it was a big meth lab. That is not correct. Or that I believe. I don't know. T. Collins said it shook his house this morning. Well, I am glad you're okay, because that is pretty gnarly. I mean, it showed pictures of blowing the garage doors in houses and everything. It was a pretty rough one. So here is another story. And I debated showing this because I didn't really want to. It's kind of rough, but I think it's very important to show it because we all work in the transportation industry and we all have to understand the risks that are involved with driving a truck. And not necessarily, I mean, we know the risk of crashing and bad weather and bad drivers and all that stuff, but parental discretion advised is all I can say. If none of you guys know what happened to this guy on the screen, it's sad. So Stormy Ray Adaki, 24. Let me throw up his picture here, the scumbag. I hope that's not. So this douchebag, excuse my language, now I got to mark this explicit, whatever. But that guy at Fort Hall was sentenced in U.S. District Court to 57 months in federal prison for assault resulting in serious bodily injury. U.S. Attorney, blah, blah, announced Thursday, September 28th. Oh. I don't know. This is all screwed up. Basically, this guy was drunk, high, whatever the circumstances are, and he climbed in through the passenger side door of I don't have his name, of this guy's fate or this guy's truck while he was sleeping in the back, and started beating him, asking for money, and just kept beating him with rocks that apparently found outside of the truck. This guy suffered. I mean, he said during the assault, he tried to scratch the assailant's face. As a result of the assault, the victim was hospitalized overnight and suffered a broken nose, broken orbital, which is the eye socket, this part of your face, a bone and a brain hemorrhage. The victim also had seizures as a result of the brain hemorrhage. The treating physician stated that the injuries created a substantial risk of death, extreme physical pain, and protracted and obvious disfigurement. The problem that I have with this, and again, this is why I'm glad I'm out here doing my own thing. The problem that I have, not only the fact that some poor guy got his brains beaten in, is that the guy got 57 months. That's it. I know people that are getting caught with a little bit of pot and getting locked up for years and years and years. There are people that are getting charged when they're at no-fault accidents and they're getting charged with it just because they drive a truck. And this guy only gets 57 months for nearly killing somebody. I don't understand it. I don't understand the judicial system. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And, I mean, it just seems like, whatever, I got to stop. It's just sad. You know, we did have a victory in trucking because, I don't have the video of it, but you guys can look, trucker assaulted at security gate. Those guys had all charges against them dropped, and they're filing lawsuits against the security company Paragon, and then the warehouse where they essentially got assaulted because the driver refused to move or whatever the situation was, but he ended up getting beaten up by security guards. Then they caught the entire thing on film, and they originally charged the driver with disorderly conduct when he got beat up. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. People are scum. And then Here's one. I think you guys saw it this morning in the news, this, or on my page. You should have. Let me get in the picture. Let's throw it up there on the screen real quick. So this guy. If you didn't watch the article, so a Georgia trucker was arrested Tuesday in Harrison, Ohio, with an outstanding warrant for allegedly illegally stealing and selling a load of chicken rather than making his delivery. Thomas Derwin Blair, 58, is charged with the theft of cargo greater than $200,000, which is a felony. According to reports, Dallas investigators accused Blair of stealing 22 pallets of chicken, of which he was hired to transport, and selling some or all of it to another person rather than completing his delivery. Harrison police reportedly approached Blair as he was parked in his Freightliner on the side of Interstate 74 around 3 p.m. Tuesday. After identifying him, officers discovered he was wanted for the chicken theft. He is currently being held in a local county jail waiting for extradition back to Texas. What is the key takeaway for this one? The chicken may cross the road, but you can't ever cross a chicken. I thought it was funny when I said it. And here's a pickup today. Let me get the picture up. And this is a pickup from CDL for Life. Or CDL Life magazine, whatever. This Ashley's the writer there. So you see this truck just driving down the highway. Back doors are open. Tires are falling out all over it. You can go to CDL Life and find the actual article for it. But a driver captured a video of a situation that could turn entirely, get it, entirely up a truck's day. Entirely mess up a truck's day. The video was recorded in Houston, Texas, January 6, 2020. The cameraman writes, "We were traveling on the Beltway in Houston and noticed tires rolling in the freeway. Finally, we noticed a trailer with its door open and tires pushing out. As he drove, the tires were just coming out, rolling down the freeway. The driver was texting, and we finally got his situation and pulled over." Again, that's called scene awareness, scene safety, whatever you want to call it. See, that's a firefighter right there, an EMT. You think scene safety. Pay attention to your trucks. Close the back of your trucks, people. Common sense, you would think, but for some, it's not common sense. Some people just have a hard time doing silly, easy things. But what can you do, right? So, and we know about the driver who sued Amazon. That's one of our big stories that we covered early in the week, and then it's all over the place now. Everyone's covered it. Freight Waves, Business Insider, Transportation Nation, CDL for Life, CDL Life, they've all covered that story. But guess what? I covered it first out of all the media, or all of freight media. I broke that story. If you guys haven't seen it, just type in driver sues Amazon in Google and you'll see a whole bunch of stories. Most of them are by professional writers, so they actually do a much better job at telling the story. But essentially, this driver was a contractor with AAA Freight out of Chicago. And he was hired and he had some shady lease agreement like everyone does. Hi from Montana, Meaty Segway on Facebook. But he had some lease deal where he was just paying the paper on the trucking company's, truck. And he was running Amazon Freight. And it seemed like he was happy with it at first, but then he realized the company was not really the best company according to the driver. And they were fudging his logbooks and forcing him to run long and forcing, he'd tell him he's on his 10 and they would call him and say, go, make a pickup. We've changed your logbooks. You're good. He says that he reaches out in the lawsuit. He says he reaches out to Amazon and Amazon was made aware of it, but then told him he needed to deal with his dispatch. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's in the article. But as I said in the beginning, when I initially covered it, he's filing this lawsuit pro se. The lawsuit is unlike any other that I've ever seen in doing research because there's a lot of, it's a lot of quotes and a lot of, I guess hearsay is what it seems to me because it's all the driver's perspective. Clearly it's going to be the driver's perspective because he filed pro se. So he did the filing himself rather than using an attorney. I wouldn't be surprised if we just hear that this lawsuit just disappears and he gets a little bit of money because, he's suing. Freight Waves did report that he's sued a lot of other trucking companies, including Celadon. For what? I have no idea. They didn't write it in there. So who knows what else is going on. You guys may remember that I talked about a baby that was born in Chickatauga, New York, truck stop. The baby was born January 17th at Jim's truck stop, according to the local news outlet. According to the report, a truck driver couple thought to be from Minnesota stopped at Jim's truck stop Friday night. During their visit, staff heard screams coming from the woman's restroom. When employees went inside, they found the woman, who was 8 months pregnant, had just given birth to a baby girl. And here's the joke from my mom, because she listens to the podcast and she thought it was funny. They were unable to attain a weight of the baby because there was a truck parked on the scale. See what I did there? That's funny. That's a mom joke if I ever heard one. So we have, I guess I'm going to start off with the driver transparency thing that we talked about yesterday. Feel free to call in if you want. We'll give it a shot. Seems like it's going to be functional today. Maybe. Who knows? The number is scrolling on the bottom. It's 914-803-4008. If you have anything you want to add to whatever I'm going to rant about here in a second, go ahead and call. I do read the chat in the bottom, so I will do my best to keep up with it. But most of you guys know if I go off on a tangent, I go off on a tangent. So I talked about Jeffrey yesterday, and I wrote an article about it after, and I was a little bit more, what's the right word? I was a little bit more smooth. You know, I was a little bit nice. I tried to write it differently. And just kind of attribute it to a lack of education. So basically, this driver posted yesterday morning on one of the hotshot groups, actually all the hotshot groups, that he was tired of all, you know, the bad rates. He's tired of bad rates. He's tired of brokers taking all the money and making too much money and all these different accusations, which are fine. Everyone's entitled to whatever they want to feel. But this guy drafted an entire petition, or actually he drafted a bill to go to the federal government. He drafted a bill and he was going to meet with his state legislature and try to have them submit this bill on the behalf. And basically the bill was a motor carrier broker act of rate transparency, blah, blah, blah. Now I will say this. I tried my darndest yesterday during that interview to have him actually spit out what he was trying to do. Anyone who watched that interview, anyone who listened to it after, because it's got a huge amount of views and it's got the podcast has been downloaded a bunch today. So I know that people were listening to it and watching it. I did try to work with the guy to try to understand what he was saying, but he wasn't making sense. But this is what I think he was trying to do, or what I think he was trying to achieve. He moved a load for $500 and then he found out that the broker got paid $200 for it. So basically the customer paid $700, broker made $200, he made $500. He was unhappy with that rate because the broker made $200. And not because the broker made money, but because by his rationale, the broker doesn't have very much overhead, which is very true, and the carrier has a lot of overhead, which is also very true. So that way by his rationale, the broker made more of a profit than the carrier, and that is wrong. That was a premise that he literally put in the actual comments in the beginning. For some reason, that changed. And with his law, or this proposed law that he wrote that he wanted to have brokers be open about what a load costs, what they're getting paid from a cost, or what it costs them and how much money they're making, essentially, is what he wants. He wants to know exactly how much a broker is making and make that public knowledge and make it a penalty by the federal government, where if a broker doesn't say, hey, listen, I'm making $200, if the broker doesn't be transparent about that, then the broker could be fined or shut down or whatever the penalties are. I didn't even get that far in the law because it was whatever. Well, I agree with transparency. I don't think you can have transparency like that. And I'll explain why in a second. But that was the first problem that I had, is because he was giving two examples of why it was important. Or he was giving two separate examples, but then they were contradicting each other. Because he tried to come on the show and say it wasn't about how much the broker made. He just wanted to know how much the broker made so he could dictate whether or not that broker was being fair to him. For example, so if broker A was paying $500 and getting paid $700 and broker B was paying $500 and making, you know, or and getting paid $800, he would make his decision to go with broker A because broker A is making less of a profit. That's the rationale that he was saying. He also used that because a freight broker has the word, or it's a freight brokerage, and because real estate brokers are required to, you know, essentially say how, what kind of commission, it's all part of the same deal. Here's and here's the way to shut that down real quick. A real estate broker, the money, they don't take possession of the money at all at any point. It's just it's in the middle. And oftentimes those broker fees are financed. So it's a big difference between a freight broker who acts as a middle person between the two and then an insurance broker. Here's another way to look at it, because we got into a conversation with somebody else yesterday about 1099s in the freight industry and how the freight services are exempt from 1099 issuance. And it actually goes into the term of brokers and which brokers are required to file 1099s and which ones aren't. And I'm not an accountant, so don't hold this to me or whatever. But essentially, well, not essentially, freight brokers are exempt. Anyone that's involved in freight services are exempt from 1099s, probably with a little bit of whatever. I'm not a tax person, so don't hold this as salt. I'm not getting sued because I said that. From my interpretation of it, anyone who's involved in freight services are not required to issue or receive 1099s. And it literally, if you look at the code, it literally goes into the fact about being a broker and how a freight broker is different than all the other brokers that it mentions that are specifically required to file 1099s, like stock brokers and insurance brokers and those kind of people. But again, this guy yesterday said it wasn't a matter of who was getting paid or what someone was getting paid. It was a matter of being transparent. So the person that was, you know, the carrier would see how much the broker is making and then be able to make his determination on which broker he wanted to look for or work for based on how much money they made, even if the broker was paying the same amount to the carrier, which literally makes zero sense. And I understand the concept, because what you would think and what I think he thinks, or what I think the purpose of this was to just force brokers to be open and say, hey, I'm making 10%. Or to regulate brokers, which I think too. I think all brokers should be on a flat rate or a percentage or something, because it would simplify the process for the brokers and for the carriers and make everything transparent, except it would do one horrible thing to the transportation industry. It would essentially eradicate competition, because if you have a set rate that a broker is allowed to make for profit, you, of course, would have to have a set rate that the carrier is allowed to make for profit. Therefore, operating expenses would all have to be universal, which will never happen. It just doesn't make any sense. The problem that I have is the conversation was a fairly good one yesterday. You know, I know he came on my show. He didn't really understand my show. He said he's never really seen my show and this, and there's a bunch of excuses after, and the 5 million messages he sent to me afterwards. And you guys see the comments from yesterday's video. You should go look. It's got like 3,400 views and like 220 comments, and I guarantee half of them are his, because he was literally arguing with everyone that had a difference of opinion. He would, in one comment, he would say, it doesn't matter what the broker makes. This isn't about seeing how much a broker makes in a percentage. It's about being able to see how much the broker makes in comparison to what the carrier makes, which I get. I understand. I agree with. But can you limit a broker and how much a broker makes in terms of profit? No. What is being able to see it going to do except make the actual business of brokering way more competitive, because then it's going to be open knowledge. So shippers going to know which broker to work with based on rates. Yeah. I can't do anything about the buffering. I'll keep trying to fix it, but I can't do anything. Right Lane on YouTube said I'm buffering real bad. So I don't know what to do about that. But yeah, it's kind of sad, man. It's kind of sad. You know, people just don't seem to have a good understanding of the industry. And I said that in yesterday's conversation with him. I said, I don't really know why people are getting involved in the industry with very little information. You know, I asked him about his cost to operate, and I asked him, how much he spends to operate and or like what his costs are. And he had no idea. He didn't know. You know, and you could tell he spit out a number eventually and said $1.50. Or no, what'd he say? He said 35 cents is what his costs were. His cost to operate were 35 cents. Why? Because he doesn't include fuel in a cost to operate for whatever reason. He doesn't include driver pay in a cost to operate for whatever reason. He only includes 20 cents for maintenance, 15 cents for tires. I don't understand it. And I know I may be missing something, and that is to be expected, I guess. Sometimes I do. It happens. I'm not too concerned with it. I wanted to give him a platform to be able to speak and be able to try to elaborate on what he was talking about. I'll be honest, kind of knew the conversation was going to go to crap because I talked to him right before the show, and it was very hard for me to get a word in, so I specifically told them that I'm going to ask targeted questions, and if I don't get the answers to those questions, meaning he didn't answer because he was being so difficult to talk with prior to the show, I was going to end the interview and just keep going because I didn't want to lose viewers, like I apparently am right now as I'm buffering. But it's just crazy. Odai Abdu Omar on Facebook said, "There's nobody honest out there. Everybody F around and try to hustle." Well, this is a hustle. Being a carrier is a hustle. Being a broker is a hustle. Working in trucking is a hustle. Because no matter what, I have to be competitive with my rates to beat other brokers and to make sure that my rates are higher enough that I can get carriers to pull the loads. Carriers have to do the same thing. Because if I have a truck and my costs are the same as yours, Adai, and I go into a place and say, "Hey, listen, I'll do that load for $20, 20% lower than a die." That's because it's competitive. That's business. That is what the nature of the business is. The problem and what I see every year, this is 15 years being in the industry. What I see every year is, yeah, we've had horrible rates the past year or so. Well, I mean, they've come up and then they've gone down, but they're going to go down. They're going to continue going down. February is going to be really rough. But what I've seen is when rates get really tight and everyone starts complaining about everything, everyone just complains. Brokers complain. Everybody complains. And that's the problem. I complain because there's no trucks. I complain because I put a rate out for $225 a mile and can't cover the damn load. Like, I complain about everything all the time. I complained when I had trucks, and that's why I got out of owning trucks. But the thing is, laying blame on someone else, you know who is to fault if I don't make enough money? Myself. Yeah, the economy partly, but ultimately myself, because I'm the one who controls it. The reason why he was so mad and he had so much time to draft up this whole 5-page bill, which you can find if you go to freightbrokerlive.com, and I think it's in the feature tab, which is the four squares to the right-hand side on the main page, and it's got a yellow box with a question mark in it. You can open that, read the whole article I wrote, read the quotes from his pre-post interviews and all that stuff, and then read the actual bill because I put it on there as well. Because I think it's important, and I don't hold any level of importance to the bill or anything like that, but I hold his frustration that he felt so bad and he feels so hopeless in the trucking industry that he thinks that writing a bill that already exists, essentially, because we already have that rule or that regulation, and I'm going to get to that in a second and clarify that for people, but we already have he felt so bad about the industry that he felt like he had no other recourse but try to change it that way rather than actually go out and find a new load. Because keep in mind, his dispatcher, his independent paid dispatcher, and I'm not getting into the legalities of those, his dispatcher up and quit on Sunday and said, "Hey, bud, I quit. I'm done. See you later. No reason. I'm out." So I guess he got on the load board and did what most people would do, except he stopped and he decided to write a big bill and get on Facebook and complain about why brokers are the ones that are ruining the market when he's using dispatchers and giving up a percentage of his load to an outside party. And yet he's saying brokers are making too much. Does not make sense to me, whatever. You know, we went on, this guy, I'm not joking, he literally sent me like 5,000 messages. I think I could put it all out, write it, you know, and make a novel out of it. Well, no, you wouldn't be able to decipher through the level of BS that was there. But he just, I don't know. He was more taken aback by the fact that I said, listen, this is the reason in trucking that people are bad. Or that trucking is bad right now. This is the reason why people are struggling and why companies are closing, and yet we still have new companies come in. It. Just like he said, we have companies close, and we have two new guys for every single one that exits. And you know what? You know who those new guys are? People just like him that have never had a CDL or just, you know, a year of driving a truck, and now they're a logistics expert. He has no broker knowledge to what I understand based on his everything he said. But he's got no broker experience, doesn't understand how a broker actually bids things. That was clear on the episode yesterday. And yet he's sitting here saying, well, a broker makes too much money and a broker shouldn't do it. Now, of course, I'll agree with him. One, there are brokers out there that take advantage of it. If they get a carrier that's going to pull something for cheap, they're going to make money. It's the same exact thing. If Rightlane on YouTube, if he called me and said, hey, Steve, so you got this load posting over for Texas to Dallas, I don't know, you know, from Dallas to Leesburg. And I say, yeah, I got this load going to Dallas to Leesburg. Yeah, I'll pay $4,000 on it, whatever, I don't know, you know, $4,500. And if his rate, if Rightlane's rate was actually going to be $3,000, do you think Rightlane's going to say, nah, you know what, you only need to pay me $3,000, sir? No, the job of the carrier is to try to maximize his profitability too. So the issue that I took with the conversation yesterday, besides the level of BS that was involved in the petition and just the general argument, was the fact that he feels that transparency is one way and that a broker is responsible to, or a broker should be responsible to tell the carrier how much he actually makes, but the carrier isn't required to do it. The carrier can dictate whatever the rate they need to move their truck. I mean, again, this is from someone that didn't understand the cost to operate a truck, or at least couldn't come up with the answer when I asked him yesterday on the air. He didn't know. Everyone knows that. He didn't know. You know? The fact of the matter is that there are brokers out there that are making money. This is an industry to make money. The carriers that are out there saying the brokers are the ones that are keeping rates down are the ones that need to go back and read a book or something and understand how the economy works. Because a broker, when a carrier is getting paid less, so is the broker. Their margin percentage may stay the same, but how much money they actually make per load goes down as well. It's the same characteristics that if rates are really good, your cost to operate don't go up when rates come up. Well, depending on what the economy says, they may. But, you know, if tomorrow everyone's paying an extra dollar a mile, your cost to operate are going to be the same as what they were then. You know, I die. You have a phone number that's scrolling below you, 914 something, something, something. You're welcome to call in, buddy. 914-803-4008. And I'll put you on the air. But, you know, I don't, and yes, Rightlane on YouTube, you said you got a broker up 17% over their initial offer today. Yeah, because that's a broker that's trying to make way too much money on the load. But the problem is he may have been able to do that to somebody else. That's what happens in the industry, is brokers are able, that's the reason of being a broker. If I have a load that's 4 days out and I think I can cover it for $2,000, and I, for the first day, I sit on it and I keep getting quotes for 25, 25, 25, 25. I'm still going to sit on it because I have 4 days to cover the load. The next day, I'm going to work because then everything changes. You know, I may still have enough money in it, but it's just silly, you know. And if I can't cover it within the 4 days, then the rate comes up because I got to get it moved and I make less money per load. Or even worse, I have to go back to the customer and say, man, I misquoted this load. I either need more money or I got to cancel the load. That's, or take a loss on the load, you know? And I mentioned that about losses yesterday to him. I said, there's losses on loads. You know, what happens if the load before you, the broker has to take a loss on a load because if he misquoted, but then on your load, he's making 15%, but you think he only should make 10. so you don't take his load, or so you think he's being greedy because he's trying to make 15% when he lost 10% on the other load. So when you even it out, depending on if the rates are the same, you're only making 5% across the board. His response, it doesn't matter. That doesn't concern me. That's a different load. Well, that's the thing, that it doesn't make any sense. You know, if you want transparency, it's got to be across the board. So that means every carrier needs to bill the same exact amount. Every carrier's cost have to be the same. Every shipper has to pay the same amount. Do you know what that's called? It's China. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not something that's going to happen. You know, the government, and what's really funny about this is the people that are saying brokers need to be regulated are the same people that say truckers do not need to be regulated, that ELDs is stupid for whatever reason, and hours of service are wrong, which they absolutely are, and they should be corrected. And the drug testing is stupid. Well, drivers get stopped driving drunk and, you know, high and all that stuff every single day. But it's the same people that want regulation out of trucking that are calling for brokers to be regulated. Like someone commented a few minutes ago in the chat. Someone said, I'll pick this line up in a second if you're listening. But like someone commented in the chat earlier today, we need to stop the divisiveness between brokers and carriers. And we all need to try to work together, because you know how we get rates up? Granted, the economy has to kind of flex a little bit too. But when everyone kind of stands together and says, hey, listen, we got to work together to try to achieve something. How are we going to do that when we have people like this writing bills and saying, hey, brokers make too much money? I'm not concerned about how much the broker makes, but I want to be able to see it to determine whether or not I take a load. It's just silly. All right, well, we have a caller. Let's pick up this call and see how we're doing. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm fine, man. How's going on?
What's up?
I've been listening for your videos for not a really long time, but like I've been watching you sometimes, learning new things. I'm new in the United States here. I've been here for 3.5 years, and basically I've been doing trucking for 2 years.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Like seriously, like you just say stuff that makes sense for me, and some stuff don't make sense. Like, you just say there are some people, when they get offered like $4,000, they will say, oh, you know what, I'll take it for $3,000. I don't believe anybody would do that, right?
No, nobody does do that. You got to listen to everything I said. Because
okay.
I said,
okay.
What he is saying is the same thing as what I said. Nobody does that. Right Lane's not going to undercut a broker, but he's expecting brokers to undercut each other to be able to offer the same and be transparent about it. It doesn't make any sense. That's the problem with the argument.
Well, the problem, I'm doing containers. I'm not doing dry vans or reefers. I work for someone, right? You know what I mean? Like, I work for someone, that guy, he just controlling the rates, like he's about there, you know what I mean? Like, we have a problem, like I have a problem, and I don't know what to do, to be honest with you. Like, for me, for example, like that guy, when he sent me, for example, from Chicago all the way to, let's say, Columbus, Ohio, round the trip, picking up, delivering, pick up in the same day, which is that crazy, you know what I mean? Like, he never show us, like, how much he really get paid for that thing. And I've been working for him for too long. And every time I try to ask him, like, what's the rates and can you approve it for me? He just, like, every time he starts treating us, like, with, like, sorry for saying that, but, like, he tried to treat us like trash, you know, like.
Well, I have a simple question for you.
You want to do it, you want to do it, that's fine. You don't want to do it, that's fine. And sometimes, like, if you just want to see the truth, like, how much you really get paid, the confirmation rate and stuff like that, they just treat you like shit, man, and they let you stay home for a week. And
is it you on your truck or you're a company driver?
No, I'm company driver with percentage, you know what I mean? Like, I take 43% after the fuel rate, so.
43% after the fuel rate. Well, if you're on a percentage, well, here's two issues with that. One, that's, you know, are you getting taxes taken out of your paycheck?
Well, man, to be honest with you, like, no, he don't take taxes from us. Like, he there's
right.
no direct taxes.
Right, so it's illegal. Like, it's illegal.
Yeah,
he
don't detect the taxes
driving his
from
truck.
Us. Like, he just give us end of the year $10.99, you know?
Yeah, well, it's super illegal. So if you're really mad at him, then call the IRS because he's breaking the law. But, you know, if you're on a percentage deal,
really
it's your job.
You know, he's not a bad person. But sometimes he flipped for an asshole. And to be honest with you, like, I don't know, man. Maybe I will make trouble for both of us right now. But, like, I want to talk, you know. I never get a chance to talk to nobody about that.
Right. You have two choices.
Here are your two choices.
All right, hold on, buddy. I'm going to mute you so I can just finish what I'm saying. So here are your two choices. One, you have to recognize that you are essentially an illegal employer or employee. So he has hired you and not paid any taxes on you being here. So I don't know your status and all that. I don't care. But the fact is that you're going to end up owing money to the government. He's going to end up owing money to the government. And you're both committing a crime. He also understands that you're not going to do anything. He can say, well, I'm not going to give you rates because why? He doesn't have a gun to his head saying, hey, you need to, you know, be honest about how much you're actually getting paid for or paid for the load that you agreed to pay me 43%. You know, it just... I don't know. So your first choice is one, either to leave your job and go find a regular real job, or secondly, just keep sucking it up or try to work through it with him and say, hey, listen, what you got to understand is that when you're saying that you're working for a company and you're a 1099 company driver that doesn't have any taxes taken out of his check and you're wondering why the guy isn't being honest with you, it's because he's dishonest. If you have 1099 company drivers, well, guess what? It's a dishonest. It's called tax fraud. So, of course, you can't expect him to be honest, in my opinion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. To be honest, like, I'm sorry with that. Like, you know, we just moved in here. Like, we're new in this country, you know? Like, we
right.
came from different world, different level, different rules. We don't have the things over there. We just figure out these things here. That's maybe the problem. Like, when you work for someone, you have to make sure he's illegal. He's doing everything legal. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. Like, so he can't make gains, you know? Maybe
right.
you're right.
You know, unfortunately,
I have to talk to him because basically we work a lot, man. Like, I feel like I'm going to say it. We are kind of a slave from a different type of, in a different style of trading. Like, we do in some weeks, we do 70 hours, 90 hours, some weeks, 98 hours, man. So we can get end of the week, $1,700, $1,800, which is like, if you want to take off the taxes of 25% from that check, it's only like going to be like $1,400, $1,300, which is that something.
25%? What are you talking about? You're at minimum of 30%, especially if you're running out of Chicago for
yeah,
insurance.
You know, no. Because I'm married and have kids, they say, like, it's less than there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. You have to – you know that he's not being legit. The guy that you're leased to, you know he's not legit because he is not paying taxes. You are – he's classifying you as an independent contractor. You're not paying taxes on the income. How's he actually pay you? Is he paying you through, checks, or is he paying you through, like, Cash App or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, he pay us with checks.
With actual physical checks?
Yeah. I'll just show the company.
Oh, well, yeah, he's even stupider than I thought. Because then what's going to end up happening is that if he does get an employee that says, hey, listen, I'm tired, like you said, you feel like a slave and all that stuff, like you said. So if you actually decided to stand up and say, hey, listen, this is wrong. I've been doing this for a year. Yes, I'm going to get nabbed because I owe taxes. You know what you should do, and this is a way to get to him. File your taxes this year. File your taxes and show, or you know, you know, do whatever. Because no matter what, I mean, you just got to do whatever you got to do. You know, you have to pay the taxes. You have to determine whether or not
and all the shit, we're barely making money from him because he basically cut us in a paycheck. Like,
I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but welcome to America. Every single American, me, you know what? I started doing my taxes right now, and I'm not even done. Right now, it's saying I'm going to owe the IRS thousands, tens of thousands of dollars as of right now. Granted, I'm not done, so I should be able to get that number down a little bit, but I'm going to owe the IRS several thousand dollars this year.
Right.
Why? Because I'm a business owner, and I have to pay the taxes. My taxes are what help people do everything. You're here. You're in America. And I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that, but don't complain about taxes because you're not getting paid enough. Complain about taxes
because you're actually paying them. The taxes, I understand. I send my kids for school. I go to hospital. I get insurance, fire department, police, which is deserved. What is these things does not exist in my country. Like, it just exists. The school, department, fire department, police, all the things exist, but for cost money, you have to be in the spot. But here, it's everything for free, which is like it deserves to pay taxes end of the year. You go to hospital, your kids are good at school, saving the school, they got warm, they're warm, they got food. You know what I mean? It's deserved. But, like, the point is, like, people we work for, they're not straight. And I believe we have to stand for ourselves, which is that true, man. The problem is I'm going to stand for myself, by myself, because he got many people's work for him. I'm not the only one. And that guy has been in that field for a long enough time. And he's kind of the local people from Chicago, which is going to be really hard for me to stand for my rights or for the right things. And I will look like an idiot in the end, and I will look like the wrong person in the end, which is...
No, because here's the beauty of being in America is you can look like an idiot, but as long as you're doing something right and you stand for something, then it makes it worth it. And nobody, not this guy and not anybody else, is going to say you're an idiot for doing what you are legally and ably allowed to do. In my book, and this is because of who I am and my political affiliations and all that stuff, in my book, you, by doing what you're doing, is just as bad as him doing what he's doing because you're enabling someone to do something wrong. And the fact is, when you look at the Chicago market, and I'm going to be very general here, when you look at the Chicago market and you ask a group of brokers, say you ask 100 brokers, you put them in the room, and you say, hey, do you work with any Chicago carriers? I guarantee more than half of them are going to say they don't because the industry and the target and the people – That culture that you're experiencing and that you're talking about now where people are just driving the drivers like slaves and there's accidents and there's just people are not happy to work, it carries over into the work. I have on my like do not load list what I have, a lot of the carriers are from Chicago. And my only advice to you, and then I'm just going to continue on with what I'm talking about because it's been 48 minutes already. My advice to you is enjoy being in America. And the privileges that it has, and then also the obligations that you have for being here, which involves paying taxes, which involves doing the right thing to report people that are doing stuff wrong, unfortunately. But if you're upset, because that's how you started this off with, you're upset because of your current situation, and you're upset that you were feeling like you're getting taken advantage of, you're upset that you were a victim in this instance, but then you're saying, well, I don't want to do anything because I didn't want anyone to pick on me or whatever. And that kind of contradicts itself. So you have to make the decision on which route you're going to go. But best of luck to you, bud. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks so much. I'll keep in touch with you guys. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Oh, geez. That was a little bit more deep than I wanted to get today. That shit's sad, dude. That's sad. Because there are people like him that just are out here. They want to work. They want to do it right. They're super thankful for the opportunity they have here. And then there are just people that take advantage. And there are people that do that in every single industry. But it's just sad. It's sad. And hopefully no one else has to. Don't anyone else call me that's in that situation, because that's just sad. I don't like doing that. But Jason Miller on Facebook says he owes $3,500 in federal taxes and $800 in state for his business. Yeah, it sucks. That's part of being an American, is paying taxes. The only caveat for me is I'm self-employed, but I still draw a W-2 from my company because I'm smart and I learned that I should do that, there's no personal income tax in Florida. So that makes it a little bit easier. But I'm still going to owe a tremendous amount of money, and that kind of sucks because I don't want to. But whatever. That's what you got to do. Jason said, where's most of your freight? Do you load Mercer? I don't know if we load Mercer, but I'm sure we do. I don't think we ever. I haven't on my freight. Most of my stuff is all volume van partial. That's what it is. And it's not. Yeah. So like, if you think volume LTL, that's what mine is. It's like 16 foot, you know, partials, but I have, you know, 30 of them. When we're busy, we're slow as shit right now. But it's all over the country, 50 plus locations. So anyway, it's sad. People just need to, you know, in terms of going back to the rate transparency thing, I understand the idea behind what Jeff was trying to say. I just wish that he was able to say it a little bit more eloquent. I think he's just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm upset my dispatcher quit and left me stranded in Texas. I'm upset that I'm in Texas, that I even came here in the first place, and I cannot find anything paying worth a crap coming out. And I now have a bunch of time, so I'm going to draft. I'm going to stew over the fact that this one broker has made more money than I did, you know, based on whatever definition I have. And so he wrote out a bill. And when I originally decided to interview him, it wasn't to have the conversation like we did. It was more to say, hey, listen, I understand your frustrations. I understand that brokers are trying to make too much money sometimes. The same goes for carriers. I have carriers that call me and ask for stupid money, you know, because if a lane is paying $3 a mile, guess what? You got carriers that are calling and asking for $4 a mile. Are those carriers also bad? Are those drivers also wrong to be asking for more money? Because based on your premise of saying that a broker, if he has the potential to make more money and he chooses to do it, that's a bad thing. Then you have to go with the same argument as carriers. If a lane is paying $3 a mile, which they do, if a lane is paying $3 a mile and the carriers see that, so they know they're going to be able to get more than what the lane is paying, because that's the way it actually works if you don't know, do you then just tell them, no, they're charging too much? Or do you do what I said before and undercut your own rate because your operating costs are less than what the broker is offering? You don't. So why would you try to dictate how much profit is built? It just doesn't make sense. You know, I ended that conversation with the fact that there's a lack of education in the industry. As all you guys know, Right Lane loves it when I say it. I think people that go out and get their own authorities should have to verify that they have the experience to do it. Because when you don't, you have people like this. And granted, he did a great thing, and he's commented, and he stirred the pot, and he gave me something to talk about for a couple of days and write a couple of articles about, and that's great. But the fact is it's more about him than it is about anything else. Because this is a guy that went out, took a leap, bought a truck, bought a trailer, decided to enter the industry, and it sucks. Because the industry sucks, the rate sucks, the broker sucks, the truck sucks, it's always down. His dispatcher sucks. The insurance rate sucks. Factoring sucks. Everything about the industry sucks. So find the one that's not going to, you know, kick you back and say, oh, well, that's the one thing that has to change. The whole industry has to change. When rates are going to come up, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's going to be happy, including brokers and carriers and everything. And then rates come back down, everyone's going to be miserable again. Is there a way to give subsidies to keep rates at a certain point? And then have a tariff when rates get above a certain point. it doesn't make any sense. This is the kind of like the mess that people make. I don't know. But if you want to call in, 914-803-4008. So now I'm going to talk about factoring. So again, let me go real back real quick. I have no problem against Jeffrey unless he keeps messaging me, and then I'm going to think there's something really off in his head. And he'll be, as I told him today, I'm like, you're edging very close to be the first person I block on Facebook because you're annoying the shit out of me. But, you know, I don't fault him for trying to do something to make the industry better. I just don't understand what the hell he was trying to do. But I give him an A for trying to go out there and make a change, because that's what this industry needs, is a change. The problem is you got groups like BSM that are going and stopping trucks. They're everything they stand for, super on point. But then they just take the wrong approach to it. Then you've got guys like then you have the other trade group, the smaller trade group that's clearly super conservative. Nothing wrong with that. I'm the most conservative person you probably ever met. But super conservative person, always talking about impeachment on a nonprofit, you know, page, whatever. But then they're going after one brash segment of the industry, not aligning themselves with anybody else. Then you have brokers that are upset with the industry and complaining about rates and complaining about carrier qualifications and all that stuff. But we're only thinking about ourselves. Those guys are, you know, the people that are, you know, stopping the trucks and protesting for all the right reasons, but just doing it wrong. Those guys are only really working in their segment. Anyone who doesn't agree with them is an outcast. You got the other guy that I mentioned, anyone who doesn't agree with him is just wrong and threatened with a lawsuit if they disagree with him. And then you have people like Jeff who are sitting out there and who are desperately trying to figure out what to do to make it work for them as a new business owner, because they got into the industry under the promise that the industry – whoops. Oh, crap. What did I do? All right. I've turned off my sound. But Jeff got into the industry with the promise that the company was, or that the industry was going to treat him well. And it doesn't. So I don't fault him for trying to make a change at all. I wish myself too understood what it would take to actually make trucking great. You know? Because you know what we do need? Regulations. I know everyone hates that. Do we need as many as we have? Nope. Do the ones that we currently have need to be worked on? Yep. But do we need to add some other ones? Absolutely. But we're not going to get them if nobody could stand ahead. We've got big organizations, ATA, OIDA, all those companies that are out there repping whatever their interests are. But there's no one. And see, that's the whole reason why I'm doing my own Freight Broker Live thing versus the other thing. Is because there's nobody that is truly speaking to you guys. There's nobody that's out there speaking to the independent carriers, the ones that are the drive, the independent brokers, the independent carriers, the small company drivers that nobody listens to. There's nobody that's out there speaking for you guys. So, and you're the ones that I want to talk to. You're the ones that I want to be like, hey, I hear you. I can't do shit about it, but I hear you. And I'm going to talk and I'm going to write about stories that I think are relevant to the cause, whatever the cause is, once we figure out what it is. But right now, the situation sucks. Rates are low. Everyone's sad, including me. I mean, look at me. I have a brokerage. I make money. Nowhere, you know, no fault of that. But I sit here and I'm trying to make the brand and do the news and all the crap and all this stuff. And then I get my sponsorship squashed by the mega people that don't want me to hear. Or don't want to hear me, but yet they invest all this money in developing all these apps and technology and new modules inside their platform that literally have that don't apply to any small carrier, any small broker, anybody. They only apply to the big guys that are buying whatever. I can't talk about it, but we got to care about the industry. That's it. We just got to care about the industry and do more. Try to work together. As much as we hate each other, try to work together. I know it sounds silly like that. Jason Miller said on Facebook, Jeff placed himself in a state that has more freight. Well, I can't read what you wrote. It's too far away from me. More freight than ships due to consumption population. His dispatcher is more than likely. Quit more than likely. His dispatcher probably quit because Jeff probably sent him 5,000 messages in about a day. That's right. I quit. I don't know. That's not fair to say. You know, whatever his situation is, You know, like he said, he's got 25 years of retired military, super nice guy, super knows what he talks about. As he said in his last message, once you got through all the level of BS, he said, hey, I like you. I think we could do good stuff together and try to figure out stuff. So let's try to do it, but just cut down. I don't want to hear about anything else. Tammy Long said, why do freight brokers keep so much from us? Well, I don't know. You're joking, but I think you have to be. Tammy Long says it takes $2 a mile to operate a truck. Then you got to pay a driver. It doesn't cost $2 a mile to operate a truck, by the way. The national average is $1.82, including driver pay and driver incentives. That equates to, I believe it was 80 cents with driver pay, incentives, insurance, and bonuses is $1.82. And that's according to ATRI, which isn't even, you know, if you look at the TCA's average, they're right around $1.60. If you look at my average, it's right around $1.68. So if you go on the high end, which is ATRI, which are using, you know, the big mega carriers and all that stuff with inflated, you know, profit lines and expenses and all that stuff with surplus of trucks and driver issues, they're the same ones that say that we're short 60,000 drivers while we have an overabundance of capacity. So that kind of says something. But, you know, $2 a mile, it doesn't cost $2 a mile to operate a truck. But I remember when I was booking, when I had my trucks, I barely moved them for less than $2 a mile. Very, very rarely did I move them for less than $2 a mile, or because we ran local a lot, less than $250. Man, I don't care if the pickup was attached to my warehouse. I didn't send a truck unless I was getting a minimum of $250. But that's just me. You know, you can, and the privilege is, and this is the thing I was trying to tell Jeff, he owns his truck. He's not like Adai. No, you know, and where Adai is kind of stuck doing whatever his boss says, the guy that owns that company. Jeff owns his truck. So if he doesn't like a load, guess what? He should do. He doesn't. Or maybe he does and he complains about it. But you just don't take